If you would, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I appreciate Brother Hicks allowing us to come again this year, and I thank the Lord for it, and I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to fellowship with you this year. Appreciate Brother Bill South and his wife and them being here, and I just appreciate the Lord. God is good, and He's good all the time. I know we say that, but you think about it. God has been gracious to us, has He not? And He's just worthy to be praised, honor, and glory. And I just thank the Lord for His goodness. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 38. And if you're able to, I'd like you to stand in reverence to God and reverence to His Word. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was coming about much serving, and came to Him and said, "Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray. My Father, it's not by our might nor power, but it is by the Spirit of God. And we're thankful for Your goodness. We're thankful for Your presence. We're thankful for the presence and the power of God. And we're a needy people today. We need You. We need Your presence. We need Your power. We need Your anointing. We can't do a thing without You, but we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So I'm asking You to be with this meeting this week. Be with Brother Bill South. Be with myself. Be with Brother Ed Hicks. Just be with us and our families and our church family. And I just pray You'll speak to my heart, speak to every heart, work in my life, work in every life. Lord, we're a needy people. We need a touch from heaven. So I commit myself to You fresh and anew, commit this service to You, commit this message to You. Just pray Your will be done, Your name be glorified. And we'll thank You for all that You do because You're worthy. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice with me in verse 42. "But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away." But one thing is needful. I like to preach a message entitled "The Importance of Fellowship." The importance of fellowship. Put a little note right there. Fellowship. The importance of fellowship. If there's one thing is needful in our day, and that's fellowship with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful. Aren't you glad of that? God is a faithful God. "By whom you were called," not just asked, not just commanded, but called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When we think of fellowship, the word means have communion with our Lord. That's our devotion time. It also means partnership. That means serving with God side by side. And then having participation with. In other words, we're heirs with God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are a family. Did you hear that? We are a family. Now I know most of the time when we're family, you know, kids always fuss and fight, okay? And they'll fuss and they'll fight and they'll do it constantly. But you let someone else mess with a brother and sister, and they'll fuss and fight that person who's trying to mess with their brother and sister. Amen? And if you think about it, it's kind of like the church. And I hate to say it, but sometimes we fuss in churches too. I hate to say that, but it's true. But what I'm trying to say is communion, that's devotion, service, partnership, and then participation. We're actually heirs with God. So fellowship. Thank the Lord we can serve Him. And everybody said? Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Now if you say amen, and you encourage me, you can say praise the Lord, so long, I'll preach faster. That way Brother Bill can get up and preach. Say amen right there. But thank the Lord we can serve Him. Thank the Lord we can be faithful to the house of God. And I know this church is faithful. I'm thank God that Sunday morning is the same Sunday night and Wednesday night. Thank God for that. Thank God that we can witness for the Lord. Had an opportunity to witness to a fella who was at the hospital visiting one guy, wasn't able to see him. So we just walking out of the hospital, Brother Scott Durham and I was walking. And there was a fellow there who was sitting on a bench, and I gave him a gospel tract. Well, when I turned around, he was actually opening that gospel tract reading it. So I turned back around and sat down beside him, and I introduced myself. And I asked him if he was saved. He said, yes. He hesitated a little bit. He said, yes. I said, well, what does it mean to be saved? And he couldn't tell me. And he put his head down and he said, I'm not saved. He said, but God's been dealing with me. So God let me open up the Word. I had a New Testament to begin to witness with him. Anyway, he called on God, repentance and faith, and he got saved. He lives in Spartanburg, so I called Brother Bill Adair, and Brother Bill Adair followed up on him. He's supposed to went to church this past Sunday. But thank God for the opportunity to witness for the Lord. By the way, I do believe in knocking on doors, but you know something, and the preacher and I was talking a little while ago, you and I have got to be soul conscious, soul-minded, soul-winning, wherever we go. So the wise thing to do is put some gospel tracts in your pocket or in your purse. You never know. There's a fellow in 1979 gave me a gospel tract, and I was brought up Catholic. I had the head knowledge, but didn't have the heart knowledge. When he gave me that gospel tract, I read that tract, put it on my dresser. As time went on, I picked it up and read it again, put it back on the dresser. But God, the Holy Spirit, took those scripture verses begin to deal with my heart, and that's where it started with me. And then finally, a young man opened up his Bible, witnessed to me, and I got saved by the grace of God, but it all started with a gospel tract. I believe in them, don't you? So thank God that we can serve Him. Thank God we can be faithful to the house of God. Thank God we can be a witness. Thank God we can raise our children in a Christian home. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God we can be active in all the activities of the church. Thank God for that. But there's one thing that's needful. Our devotion time with God. Our communion with God. Spending time in God's Word. And I don't mean a little bit. I mean a lot of it. Allowing God to minister to us. Allowing God to feed us. Talking to God in prayer. In other words, having family time with the Father. I remember when our children were younger, we'd have devotion time together, family time together. And I'll be honest with you, it's a special time. Well, God wants to have that special time with you. So we need fellowship with God on a consistent basis. Mary was sitting at Jesus. Pretty good place to be, isn't it? This takes time. You have to set a time daily with God. You got to set a time. It takes stillness, a quiet time with God. Stillness. I go to the prison, and I go just about every week to a prison somewhere. In fact, one of the ladies at our church, she asked me two questions. She said, now, I'm keeping up with you, so I want to know if you're either in church or in prison, because I know if you are, you're safe. So anyway, I'm either in church or I'm in prison. I know that sounds funny, but when you're a prison preacher, that's a good place to be. Amen? As long as they let you out at the end of the day. So anyway, a quiet time. But when I go to prison, a lot of those men says, I'm glad I came here, and the reason being, I sat still enough to listen to God. And this is exactly where I got saved. And then it takes ears to hear, listening to that still, small voice. God spoke to Elijah. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the fire. It was a still, small voice. Sometimes God will speak to you in a real, still, small voice. It takes a mind to think, meditate. I know we mentioned before, hearing God's Word, reading God's Word, studying God's Word, memorizing God's Word, meditating on God's Word. It takes a lot of time when the preacher studies and he teaches Sunday school and he preaches Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It takes a lot of time to do that. It takes a lot of time to do that. So the point is if you'll meditate on what he preaches, God will minister to you in a special way. So the importance of fellowship and at Jesus' feet, or the importance of fellowship. Number one, the conditions of fellowship. The conditions. I want you to notice First, you must have a relationship with God. In other words, you must be born again. Before I was saved, I prayed, but my prayers didn't get as far as the ceiling. I remember my mother was real sick in the hospital for several weeks, and I prayed every day. But I didn't even know God. I didn't even know God. But on July the 7th, 1981, on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m., I called on God in repentance of faith, and I got saved. And now when I pray, I actually talk to God. And God speaks to my heart. So first, you must have a relationship with God. You must be born again. So there are some conditions of fellowship. You must have a relationship with God before you can have fellowship with Him. John 3 and verse 3, you must be born again. Physically, I was born from mom and dad, and that's how I become their child. To be God's child, you got to be born again spiritually to be God's child and become a child of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you got to have that relationship. Conditions of fellowship. You have to have relationships. Secondly, underneath that, you must read the Word of God. I know that's simple, but how much time did you read God's Word this morning? How much time did you read it yesterday? How much time did you read it last week? These are some things God's been dealing with me for the last couple months. And what I'm saying is, I do read and I do pray, but how much do I read and pray? Secondly, you must read the Word of God. Let God talk and minister to you through His Word. Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I know your pastor, he's a deer hunter, and I enjoy deer hunting. Last 2 years hadn't been too good for either one of us. Thank God we can go fishing. Amen. But anyway, deer hunting. Well, there's a cap that I wear that's got a button on it, and if you click it, the light goes right to your feet so you know where you're standing when you walk out there when it's dark before the light breaks. And so then you click it again, and there's a light that goes toward the path so you can see where you're going. Click it the third time, and both light comes on. You know where you're standing, you know where you're going. That's exactly what God's Word is. We got a world right now that has no idea where they're standing. They're standing on seeking sand. So what I'm trying to say, they don't even know where they're standing, and they definitely don't know where they're going. So thank God we have the Word of God. It is a lamp on our feet. It's aligned our path. In Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp. The law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In Psalm 119:140, Thy Word is very pure. Therefore, Thy servant loveth it. I remember Brother Mike Kelly would read that verse, and he said, just think about it. Thy Word is very pure. I mean, very pure. That's just real pure. And I said, amen, Brother Mike. So it is. The Word is very pure. Psalm 119, 148. My eyes prevent the night watches. Stay up all night. He said, and I meditated in Thy Word. If you're going to make a big decision, you're going to have to spend some time with God. There's times, and I don't like staying up all night, but there's some times I can't sleep. If I have to make a decision in my life, God will keep me up most of the night just so I can spend time in His Word so He can minister to me. I thought about Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah got weary. You ever get tired? I know we don't get tired of the way, but we do get tired in the way. The older you get, I'll just be honest with you, the responsibility is more and greater than ever before. And sometimes it's weary. It is, it's weary. Well, Jeremiah preached, and you'd think everybody would listen and do exactly what he says. Didn't work out that way. They beat him up and put him in a dungeon. So he got to a place where he got tired. He got weary. He said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. So preachers get tired and weary too, and sometimes we want to quit. We do. I know you feel that way at times. We feel that way at times. But I'm glad the Bible says, but His Word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary, forbearing. I couldn't quit or I couldn't stay. So he couldn't quit. He got in the Word until the Word got in him. When he wanted to quit, he couldn't quit. And by the way, we're living in a crazy world. I'm not kidding. Our world is crazy. They went crazy. Our world has gone crazy. They cheer and they shout over abortions. They do. Our world's crazy. Homosexuality is crazy. Our world is crazy. Everything that's good is bad in the world's eyes. Everything that's bad is good in the world's eyes. We're living in a crazy world. So, you have to have a right relationship, but you must read the Word of God. Thirdly, and I know this is simple too, but you got to rely on prayer. Talking and communicating with God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, I dealt with a man that's supposed to be a believer, and I believe he is, but real depressed, and tried to take his life last week, tried to. So what I'm trying to say is, this world needs peace where we know the God of peace. You as a believer need peace too, and I do too. We're living in a troubled world. So the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, or be not worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when you're troubled, it's a good time to pray. When you're going through trials, it's a good time to pray. When you're going through difficulties in life, when you got a lost loved one, when you got a brother, sister, or mom and dad, or son or daughter that's wayward, just a good time to pray. Good time to pray. Psalm 6, verse 9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Now, I like prayer, because that means God's going to either say yes. Don't you like those times? Sometimes God will say no, because it's best for us. Sometimes God will say, wait. And sometimes God will say, there's a better way. But God hears and answers prayer. In 1 John 5:14 and 15, and I know you know these verses, but these are the key to answer prayer. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. So if you're going to pray, you need to pray according to God's Word and according to God's will. And when you do that, God will hear and answer that prayer. Elijah prayed, and when he prayed, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. You know why? Because God already told him it wouldn't. So he prayed it according to God's Word, according to God's will. And then it was time that it was rain, and so he prayed that it would rain. He sent his servant to go check out toward the ocean and see if he saw a cloud. He said, I don't see a cloud. He'll go again. Went 7 times. Finally saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, you better take off running. He's getting ready to pour. And brother did. Why? Because he prayed according to God's Word. All of God's children need time of fellowship with the Lord. The conditions are simple. Having a relationship with our Lord in salvation, spending time reading His Word for spiritual guidance and growth, and spending time relying on prayer, communicating with God. Now, secondly, not only the conditions of fellowship, but the choice of fellowship. I want you to notice in verse 42, in verse A, it says, but one thing is needful, Mary has chosen that good part. In other words, the word chosen means to select, to pick out, to speak of deliberate action on our part. Mary had a choice. Martha had a choice. If you have a regular fellowship time with Christ, it's because you chose to have a regular time of fellowship with Christ. You've got to choose the time. Secondly, underneath that, not only did she choose, but she chose the good part. The good part. Reminds me of banana pudding with whipped cream on top. Banana pudding's good, but I think the whipped cream's the best part. But anyhow, the good means beneficial. It means, and the part means a part that is distinctive. Mary had her priorities in order, first things first. So, church service are wonderful, and everybody said?
Amen.
Church service, the singing is wonderful, and everybody said?
Amen.
Witnessing is wonderful, and everybody said?
Amen.
Serving God is wonderful, and everybody said?
Amen.
Working for the Lord is wonderful, and everybody said?
Amen.
But the most beneficial part, the one thing that is needful, our priorities, is fellowshipping with God. Then don't you notice Martha chose. Now, Martha didn't really choose anything bad. It wasn't bad. She was serving. I read a commentary and I like what it said. It said, Mary and Martha both loved Jesus. On this occasion, they were both serving. But Martha thought Mary's style of serving was inferior to hers. She didn't realize that her desire to serve, she was actually neglecting her guest. Are you busy? So busy doing things for Jesus that you're not spending time with Jesus. So don't let your service become self-serving. So Martha chose to serve before fellowship. She was coming about with much serving. It became overwhelming to her. Martha, Jesus said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, she complained to the Lord. You better watch the way you pray. Amen. I do too. Sometimes we tell God what to do. That's our prayer. But I tell you what, we don't tell God what to do. We need to ask God what He wants us to do. Amen. So she told the Lord what to do. She complained. And I'll be honest with you, if you get so busy, and there's nothing wrong with getting busy with the Lord, but if you don't spend fellowship, you'll get critical about your service. You're doing it, nobody else is doing it. Elijah felt the same way. And God said, there's 7,000 prophets that have not bowed to Baal. So she was doing a good thing, but not the best thing. She complained. She commanded to the Lord. She was critical. If you're not careful, you'll get critical. You'll get critical. So before we serve the Lord effectively, we must spend time with Him earnestly. Before we serve the Lord effectively, we must spend time effectually. Before we serve the Lord effectively, we must spend time with God fervently. And brother, this is a battle the devil fights you with. There's two things the devil will fight you probably more than anything, and that's your time in prayer and your time in the Scriptures. I've been trying to memorize Psalm 103. Been doing it for a long time, trying to. Same thing with Psalm 145. Sometimes I'll get it down, and I feel good about it. Then the next day, I forget about three or four verses, and I get mad at myself, about beat myself up. So this is what I've been doing. If I forget it, I just grab my Bible and I read through it and go to the next part. I do remember, but I'm going to finish it no matter what. The devil's not going to win that battle. I'm just telling you that right now. Amen. But he'll do it. He'll fight you in your Scriptures and he'll fight you in your prayer life. I tell you what, there's more distraction when you start praying than you'll ever see. Things will come to your mind, things you got to do. People will call you, your wife or somebody will interrupt you or something like that. I'm just telling you right now. Devil fight you in your devotion time with God. And if you try to do it with your family, devil fight you there too. He sure will. So, here's another one. Jesus did not blame Martha for being concerned about household chores. He was only asking her to set priorities. It is possible for service to Christ to be degenerated into mere busy work than it is, and then it's no longer full devotion to God. So thank God for busyness. I remember we were in Bible college. We worked all day, went to Bible college at night. I headed up visitation on Saturday morning and taught Sunday school on Sunday morning. Busy, busy, busy. But I got to a place I got so busy working for God, I forgot to spend time with God. Fellowship, fellowship. So the first thing is the conditions of fellowship. And then the choice of fellowship. And lastly, the commending of fellowship. Commending. Commending means to esteem, to praise, to respect, or show favor towards someone. Jesus commended her fellowship. Isn't that something? Jesus said, it will not be taken away from her. Jesus was showing favor, praising Mary for her choosing to fellowship with Him above all things. Listen, isn't it a blessing to spend time with your children? Isn't it a double blessing to spend time with your grandchildren? Say amen right there. I didn't know how it was until about a year and 2 months ago. Me and Shauna's got a little grandbaby. We get to visit her the other day, and she sat in my lap, and we played, and I enjoyed it. Amen. So anyway, thank God for that. But that's what God wants to do, is spend time with us. That's what God wants to do. And then Jesus commended her for her feelings. Jesus refers to her love for Him. It's shown in the fact she chose to fellowship with Him over all else she could have done. In 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. We should have a deliberate reaction to His love, and may that reaction be in the form of our fellowship with Him. Those you love, you'll desire to be with them and spend time with them. Family relationship, loving and caring one for another, and God is our Father. I love Psalm 103 where it says, as the Father pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He knoweth our frame. He remember we're dust. Aren't you glad God knows exactly who we are and what we are? I tell you what, I failed the Lord. I don't want to, but I do. I'm glad He understands that. I remember when our children, when they started walking, they'd fall. We just pick them back up. Then they got where they walked better than we did and started running. We couldn't keep up with them anymore. So anyway, thank God for that. And then Jesus commended her for her faith. For her faith. In John chapter 12, we see another scene. Jesus there in Bethany at Martha's house. And Mary was at His feet again. But this time, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. She believed God. She knew that Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. Didn't understand it all, but she knew that He was. And she was at His feet again, washing His feet, but this time with ointment and with her hair. She believed Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross for her. So one thing is needful, fellowshipping with the Master. So the condition of fellowship, Mary was sitting at His feet. The choice of fellowship, Mary had chosen that good part. The commitment of fellowship, which shall not be taken away. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I know I need to finish up. But if you remember in John chapter 11 about the death of Lazarus, you remember that they called for Jesus and He waited until He got there 4 days. Finally, He did get there, and guess who went to Him first? It was Martha. It wasn't Mary. It was Martha. Martha learned something about fellowship, and when she heard that Jesus was come, she ran to Him. She ran. Martha did. Martha learned something. She learned that spending time with Him was more important than serving. Nothing wrong with serving, but she spent some time with Him. And then, of course, she said, Lord, if Thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. And but she said this. This is Martha's faith now, not just Mary's. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it to him. Then Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that in the last day, in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And then Mary came. And actually Martha told Mary that the Master has come and calleth for thee. And then Mary hesitated a little bit. And then she came. And then I want you to notice that when He talked to both of them, He went to where Lazarus was, and then all He said was Lazarus, and Lazarus came forth. In John chapter 12, you got Jesus back at Bethany. You've got Martha's working. That fellowship affected her work. She wasn't commanding. She wasn't complaining. She was just serving God in peace. It affected Mary's worship. Mary hesitated before. She's back at His feet, and this time washing His feet with her hair. That fellowship affected her worship. This fellowship affected Lazarus' witness. You don't really hear a lot about Lazarus. But they not only came to see Jesus, they came to see Lazarus. And not only do they want to take Jesus' life, they want to take Lazarus' life. And the reason being is because he was the reason that many Jews went away and believed on Jesus because of his witness and his testimony. So guess what fellowship will do? Fellowship will affect your work. Fellowship will affect your worship. And fellowship will affect your witness. Are you having fellowship time with God? Are you spending much time with God? How is your devotion time with God? Are you too busy for God? Are you self-centered? I'm going to be honest with you. We're self-centered. We are. We're self-centered. If you think about it long enough, you'll realize for the most part, we're self-centered. That's kind of natural. Or are we Christ-centered? That's what we want to be. In Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever lose my life for the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. Romans 12:1-2 is probably one of the greatest verses on surrender and the will of God. And every person in here, God's got a perfect will for your life. Every person in here, God's got a perfect will for your life. Every person in here, God's got a perfect will for your life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present, that means surrender, your body, spirit, soul, and body, as a living sacrifice. Someone said, I'd die for Christ. Well, good. But were you willing to live for Him? Holy, acceptable unto God, something we ought to do, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed, in other words, be separated from this world unto God. And remember, you got to realize you're separated to God than from this world. It goes to God first. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, saturate your mind by the Word of God that you may prove or know what is that perfect, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One thing is needful, and that's our fellowship with God. Let's pray.